blessing. My, my, my. God is so great. So wonderful. Great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Give the Lord praise if you would tonight.
Yes.
January the 28th of this year, 2020, was Mom and Dad's 70th anniversary. Of course, Daddy's been gone to heaven since 2008, and there's probably not a human being alive that liked to sing any more than my dad did. My brother and I, who were very mischievous when we were growing up, we'd driving back and forth to Rockmart to church, and, you know, it wouldn't take anything. We'd just start singing a song, and Daddy would start singing along with it. Me and my brother would wink at each other, and then we just changed the song. And Daddy'd just go right in with us. You know, it didn't matter what we were singing. He'd just stop what he was singing and start singing with us. And miss those times. But we used to sing this song. It's been on my heart. It's one that Daddy sang the high part. Daddy was in a trio when he first got saved over at Prior Street in Atlanta, Georgia. And he sang with two other brothers there in the church, and they had a radio program, and they were called requests, and they wanted that trio to sing with that woman that had sung that high part. That was Daddy. But this is Feeling Fine. Woke up this morning. Got my back up. So where's Susan? I thought she's gone. When I do this, you and Sister Penny be my. Penny's gonna be the high part tonight.
I am a girl.
I think I'll do the first one slow.
Okay.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. 'Cause I knew the Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light. I like this part. For I'd been on my knees in the night, and I prayed to you, the Lord gave me sight. And I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I got heaven
on my mind.
On my mind.
Heaven on my mind.
Don't you know? I wanna go.
If I want to go.
With me.
Oh,
my.
with Jesus all the time.
Hallelujah.
We're walking, talking as we climb. We're traveling the road to the sky, where I know I'll live when I die. He's been telling me all about that land, and he tells me that everything is grand. Oh, and he tells me a home will be mine. And I'm wild feeling mighty fine.
Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. Yes, I'm feeling fine. Heaven on my mind. Heaven on my mind. Don't you know?
Go.
Heaven on to go.
Where the
milk and honey flow.
And honey flow. Thank you for allowing me just to go down a little memory lane with Dad. Wished he was here to sing that high part. Not that I don't appreciate the one that's singing it tonight, but they could harmonize together. Amen. 70 years, I just happened to think about January the 28th of this year. Amen. But what a time we'll have when we all get to heaven. Amen. What a glorious, glorious time that will be. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the 57th Psalm. Psalms 57. Thank you, Sister Lisa, for allowing me to feel what a real bass guitar feels like. Well, It had familiar fingers on it, unfamiliar fingers on it. It didn't do what she made it do. I put it that way. Amen. We got a fine, fine bass player. Give her a hand. Praise God. Amen. In the 7th verse of the 57th chapter of the Psalm, Psalm written by David at a very unique time in his life. We'll touch on that just a little bit. 57, beginning with verse 7. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are tonight, God, for your holy presence, God, for your mercy, for your grace, your abundant love. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to gather here tonight, God, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the desire that you've placed in our hearts to be here tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch and anoint each and every person here tonight. God, those who are sick, those who are afflicted, God, many could not make it tonight. I pray, God, that you would reach out to them. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, just speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll be thankful, Lord, and careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated tonight. For just a little bit tonight, and I don't intend to tarry long. We've had a a wonderful day of praise and worship, and the songs have been wonderful. Even in practice tonight, it didn't really seem like practice. It seemed like they was already in one mind and one accord, and the Lord just began to bless, and I thank God for that. I love to sing praises unto the Lord. But I was thinking today as the Lord led me to these particular scriptures, and if I had a message title tonight, it would simply be Awake My Glory. Awake My Glory. We find that this is a unique time to write this particular psalm. History tells us that this psalm was written by David and presented to the chief musician while he was fleeing from Saul's wrath. Somewhere either in the cave or after the cave, you know, when he cut off part of the hem of Saul, signifying that your life is in my hands. I could have taken it, but I did not seize the opportunity. Even though God has his hand or had his hand on David, and David was to be the one that was going to replace Saul as the king of Israel, David knew that Saul, even though he was disobedient, was still anointed of God. And I thank God for the fact to know that David was not so excited to get ahead of God, but he waited on God. But in so doing, his life was in jeopardy because of that spirit that was in Saul had risen up, and the jealousy spirit, and he was trying with all of his men to kill David, so that he was endangering throne or rise to the throne. So this was during that particular time, and I thought how that the first six verses there was talking about the situation, and David began to explain, if you have to do that, but he was writing that on this psalm. He was writing it, Psalms was written in poetic phrases, basically. And if you'll turn over, I think it's Psalm 108 in there somewhere, almost the first five verses match the verses that I have just read to you. So David used that prose and that verbiage again later on. So it was kind of a way to when he wrote a psalm, it was almost writing a song that he would give praise and honor to the Lord. But there's a very, and again, unique term in this particular thing, and if I can get the pronunciation correct, it is Al-Tashith. And it simply means in English language, destroy not. And I thought that was very interesting. First of all, I thought that it meant that he didn't want these words destroyed as he presented them to the chief musician to be sung again and again and again by the singers of the tabernacle or the temple, and maybe for himself in further reference. But as you read this particular passage of Scripture and you read David's actions towards Saul, I believe it meant destroy not Saul. Do not destroy him because he is God's anointed. And David even called him. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, for my soul trusteth in thee, yet in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge unto these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, that and their tongue a sharp sword. So even in the face of the calamity that David was in and knew that Saul and his men was trying to kill him and would kill him if they were able to apprehend him, he still finds time to say, Lord, thy mercy is great, to be exalted, I lift you up. And he says a very a wonderful phrase here. He says, awake up my glory. Wake up my glory. Now down there he refers to God's glory. In the latter scripture there, he says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. But wake up my glory. And the interpretation of that or the definition is inner self. Inner self. And I said, God, it's time. It's time that we wake up our inner self. It's time that we get ourselves, our spirits, where they need to be. You know, if we come into service and we wait till the service is dismissed before our inner self gets awoken, then we've missed out on countless opportunities. But if somehow we can find a way to energize that inner self, to awake that spirit that is within us, we'll come into the doors in one mind and one accord, glorifying and praising and lifting up the name of the Lord. Amen. And in every song that song will be a praise and worship unto the Lord. Awake up my glory, my inner self. As David wrote that, it wasn't in the most pleasant of times. Man, I remember years ago, before I was called into the ministry, I used to have, I don't know, a desire to write songs, and I had written several. And at this particular time, a great uncle of mine, my daddy's mother's brother, Adolphus, we called him affectionately Uncle Doc and Aunt Lula. And they had no children. They were very precious saints of God, mighty warriors for God, all of the life that I knew them. And they were on up in years, and they become sickly, and Uncle Doc passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And I wanted to write a tribute to him. I wanted to write something that commemorated his life and his dedication and his faithfulness to God and to the church. And he was that. He and Aunt Lula both were very, very faithful saints of God during their entire life that I knew them. And even speaking to Daddy, he said they had always been that. He had always been such a humble person. And I sat down at the table, and I had the paper and the pen, and I was writing, and I was trying to write these things about how sad it was that Uncle Doc worked hard all of his life, and how that he really never had a lot of material gain. He didn't really desire that. Him and Aunt Lula had a precious, precious relationship, a wonderful husband and wife relationship, and we used to go up there and have supper with them about once a week, and because she was a fantastic cook. And they lived in an older home. And to my knowledge, they never owned a home. They always rented or sharecropped. Even when they used to grow cotton, Daddy, when he was working at Fisher Body, would have the model change. And then he would go and help Uncle Doc pick cotton. But I said all that to say this. I was wanting to write something that people would remember him by and knew that he struggled through life and knew that was one hardship after another. When you shook this man's hands, it was almost like you grabbed hold of a bristle brush. That's how rough and calloused his hand was, as a testimony to the hard work that he had done all of his life. But in those hard, leathery hands, there was a heart of gold. And I wanted to write a great tribute to it. And I tore up one piece of paper after another, tore up another piece of paper. I threw it away. Nothing seemed to work. You know, when you're trying to write a song, you're hoping it's anointed of God, and the words kind of freely go, and it's great if they happen to rhyme. Amen. Sometimes you can't think of a word that makes it rhyme. But it began to be such a chore. I put it back. I tried again. Nothing but seemed to work. And I had that mindset, again, I want people to remember him. I want them to know what a struggle it was and how hard of a life that he had. And I went to bed one night, and honestly, you know, when I go to bed, Penny will tell you this, usually I can turn the light off and be asleep, amen, before it gets dark. It's pretty quick. I have been known to do that just about. I can lay my head on the pillow and it's gone like that. That's the reason she has a noise machine other than myself that she turns on so that it overwhelms my snoring. But that night I had done this. Boy, I hit that bed and I was sleeping. All of a sudden, I mean, it was just like a ray of sunshine. Just opened up my eyes. And it's just like God spoke to me. Now, I won't tell you God's speaking exactly like I'm speaking now, but how many knows when God speaks to you, you know who it is? Amen. You know without a shadow. I've had people say, well, how do you know that God's speaking to you? Well, if you don't know, he may not be speaking to you. Amen. If you're trying to put thoughts in his mind and say, well, I think God wants me to, you'll know. I'll guarantee you, because he will not let it alone. He's worse than my wife about continually saying, you. He will not let it alone. He woke me up in the middle of the night. He said, are you ready to write that song?
And I thought, well, I've been ready. But I wasn't. So, and you know, here's the first thing in the morning. No. He said, you need to get up now. And I'm finding out now, boy, if I put it off the morning, I done forgot what it was. I have a notepad. I write it to my, and then I got sticky notes. I'll write it down and because I can't remember those things. But God said, no, get up. We're going to go write it now. So I got up, went to out there to the kitchen table, got the paper, you know. And you know what? It was almost like I wasn't writing. I was just dictating. And it began to flow. It began to flow. But you know what? It was nothing like what I thought it would be. You know, I was writing, poor old pitiful Uncle Doc, bless his heart, worked all his life, all this, didn't have that much to show for it. And the Lord impressed on my mind, if you could only see me now. I'm no longer old and gray. Amen. I am young forever to stay. There's no sadness. There's no pain. There's no clouds. And there's no rain. You could only see me now. Praise God. And I began to, I couldn't write it fast enough. And I wrote that and I've sung it several times because I think that God wanted me to know, amen, that everything that Uncle Doc had gone through, amen, paled in comparison to what he was enjoying now. And I still believe he's having a good time. Amen. He's not worried about how hard he had it on this earth because, again, he wasn't put here to live. He was put here to prepare to live. Amen. So David, when he wrote this, it was not the most pleasant times. It was not one of those situations when he's sitting on the throne and had everything and God had blessed him and all that. It was a time when he was running for his very life. And I thought about, Lord, you know, even in those times, you can give us comfort that the world cannot give us. You can give us hope. You can give us that promise that things are going to be better no matter how rough we think it is. No matter even if the devil, the enemy, is on our case and he's trying to kill us and he's trying to get us down and he's trying to afflict us and cause sickness and distress and all of these things. If we can sit down in the midst of adversity and begin to say, Lord, awake my glory. Lord, let my inner self begin to rejoice and praise you. Not for what here, not for what I'm going through, but for what I'm going to receive by faith, for what's on the other side. Awake that inner spirit. Awake that inner self. Let me realize and know, Lord, just how wonderful, just how good it is to serve and to praise the Lord. David said, wake up my instruments too. How many musicians we got in the house? Several. Several. How many wannabe musicians we got in the house? You know, faith and works. My brother back here has signed up for guitar lessons. Hey, man, that's putting your faith into work. I told him about 10th lesson, he could get him a chair up here. Amen. But when you are a musician, and I think some of you musicians will bear this out, there's times it just flows. Sometimes the strings themselves feel like they're anointed. But there's other times when it just doesn't sound right at all. You know, sometimes we can't get the chording right. Sometimes we can't get the beat right. And I'm speaking to myself. Sometimes I can pick up that thing and say, it's just like a chore to try to chord something. And I'll get out this little tuner thing right here. And I'll have to go and tune every little string again and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it. And sometimes it still don't sound right. But every once in a while, you know, the Spirit of God begins to come down. I pick that guitar up and I love this. You don't even have to tune it. It's already in tune. Praise God. Hey, that works too good. I'm going to hang one on anybody's ear when they come in. Don't have to tune them. They come in one mind and one accord already tuned up. And it begins to flow regardless of the song, regardless of the testimony. Amen. There is a unison of the Spirit and we're worshiping and glorifying the Lord. Why? Because our soul, that glory has been awoken. Awake my glory. Awake my inner self. Lord, help me not to dwell on the negative things. Lord, help me not to look at the bad situations. Help me to see the good in people. Help me to glorify you. Help me to lift my hands when I don't even feel like lifting my head. But help me to glorify and praise you. That's the reason that we can wake up in the morning feeling fine. Has nothing to do with how the body feels. Has nothing to do whether it's Monday or Sunday or Saturday or whatever day it is. But when we wake up and we've been on our knees in the night, amen, and the last thing that was on our mind and on our heart when we closed our eyes was a scripture that we had just read, or a passage of scripture, amen, or a prayer that we had just made. And we wake up in the morning and we glorify and praise God, regardless of what we're facing that day, regardless of the situations that may confront us. There is something that causes the glory, that inner self, to be awakened. Hallelujah. To be revived, so to speak. To be aware and to be thankful of the many blessings that God has bestowed upon us. He said, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will praise thee among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Amen. That's one thing to sing and glorify and praise the Lord in the church with a group of believers. But how about that in the world? Can we still hold our head up high, still glorify and praise the Lord during those times, amen, when other people need to hear us? Amen. You know, Wednesday night, how many remembers the... You remember that? Glory to God. You know, we're talking about putting sticks of wood on the fire. But these sticks all had a title. There was things that we could do to make that fire burn. Amen. We talked about Paul and about how the first thing he did when he come off of that shipwreck, they built a small fire. Paul said, it ain't big enough. Come on, we come to church sometime to have a small fire. We come to church sometimes just to have a small service. And everybody sing a song or two, glorify and worship, praise the Lord, then we'll go home. Amen. But then sometimes we come and we put a little log on the fire. And we say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to forget about the schedule. I'm going to forget about next week. I'm just coming into your sanctuary. I'm just coming into the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to wake up my glory and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to exalt you and I'm going to glorify your name. Hallelujah. It's easy to do when everybody else is on fire. Amen. You get close to a person on fire, you're going to feel the heat. Hallelujah. You're going to feel the heat. It is contagious and it spreads. Awake, my glory. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, I chose this particular passage because there is such a diversity of thought process here. It's almost an about face. As he begins with all of his troubles and the enemies with sharp teeth and talking about Saul explicitly and how Saul would swallow him up. Even though he didn't mention his name, we know who he was referring to. And how that his very life was in jeopardy. But just like I was trying to write those words of what I thought would be a tribute to my uncle, God said, no, I want you to write this. If you could only see me now. I want you to write this. And awake up that glory. Wake up that inner self, that spiritual man. Amen. That looks beyond those problems. That looks beyond the adversity. That looks beyond the enemies that come against us. And begin to write. And David began to write this. And he began to say, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up. Help me to realize. Help me to understand. Help me to be thankful, God, for where you brought me from. Let me tell you something. And I've shared this with many, many people. And many, many times I still have to do it myself. So many times we think we have it so bad. And listen, we all do. We walk through this world. This world is not a pleasant thing. There's a lot of times. There's a lot of situations that arise. There's a lot of things that we have to handle. Amen. Every one of us have had our share of trouble and strife and all of these things. And boy, when it thinks that we think that the devil ain't working on nobody else except me, one of the greatest antidotes that I have ever had in my life is a stroll through either Eggleston Hospital or Scottish Rite. Either one of the two. Or any, you pick any children's hospital. And we thought, you know, and rightfully so. Our bodies do suffer pain and sickness and situations. But when I go through there and I see little children with their hair that's come out because they're battling leukemia. 6, 7, 8-year-old kids. I see little babies that are hooked up to all of these monitors and everything. Why? Because they was born with a hole in their heart and they had to go into surgery even before they was a month old. And I can even see the moms and dads pulling these little radio flyer wagons down the hall. And right beside it, the dad may be pulling it and the mother is rolling an IV stand alongside the little child. And I see all these things. I said, God, don't let me complain. Lord, wake up my glory. Wake up that inner self. How thankful I am, Lord, for your blessings. How thankful I am for another day. I never want to open my eyes in the morning and take for granted that God has spared my life. He's let my lungs breathe in the oxygen that I need to get up and have another day. I am thankful, and when I'm not, I need to wake up that glory and wake up that inner self to be thankful for what God has done for me and for the many, many blessings that He has bestowed upon me. Then He says, let thy glory be above all the earth. He's very, very quick to point out that, God, your glory is great. It's my glory, my inner self that needs a touch. It's my inner self that needs reviving. It's my inner self that needs to be thankful for all that you've done. And Lord, I praise you and I love you. If you're thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon your life, and there are many, there's so many. I know I've told you this before, and I'll try to come to a close with this. I promised it wouldn't be very, very lengthy. But it is human nature to dwell and remember the bad things, the situations that don't go seemingly as we would like them to go. And that's usually what, absolutely what, I guess, involves most of our conversation. A lot of times we talk about this and that and the other rather than dwelling on the good things that has happened to us. So we just kind of take those for granted and we'll say, Lord, thank you for that and thank you for your blessing. But it's the bad things that seemingly people dwell on the most. And I've had opportunity in my ministry to talk to couples, especially younger couples who were facing adversity and problems and stress in their marriage. And folks, let me tell you something. Marriage is something you have to work at. It's a compromise. And I remember my granddaddy talking to me and telling me, he said, now son, when you get married, you're going to think she's so sweet you could just eat her up. He said, in about 6 months, you wished you had. And I said, but Papa. I'm about to get married. You're supposed to be encouraging. He said, well, son, I'm telling you, there's more sweetness in it than there are bad things. Way more. And he said, I tell you right now, and this was his saying. He said, I wouldn't take a plug nickel for either. And they was married a long, long time. But sometimes young couples don't realize that. They think it's all going to be just bed of roses, just wonderful, you know, living on love and all that stuff. And there's time. Can you say amen? Amen? There's time. There's time. Glory to God. But you gotta cherish those good things. And I would bring them into the office and we'd sit down and talk. And, you know, you could tell that it was going to be quite an event because, you know, expressions tell you a lot. And when they're sitting there and their lips are poked out and their hands are crossed, you're thinking, wow. You know, there's trouble in paradise. And then usually one begins to talk, and of course it's never that one's fault. It's the other one. And they just, and then that gets the other one wound up. And then they began to talk, and I said, I think this was just divine intervention one night, because I was not knowing what to tell them folks. And it seemed like God just said, you know, or it came to my thought, let's get it all out. Let's get it every bit. So I told him, I said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to get a piece of paper. Here's a pencil. There's a pencil. I want y'all to spread yourself so you can't look on the same sheet and put down and write the same thing. And I said, I want you to begin to write every little thing that you are upset with. I want you to name everything. Even if it's clicking nails, I want you to put it down. Because believe it or not, clicking nails can get annoying to some folks. But put every little negative thing that you can think of, and I want you to write it down. Don't hold back anything. You know, I'm not going to show them to each other. So rest assured, he's not going to see your paper, she's not going to see yours. And I'm not going to know it abroad. I'm going to stick it in the scrapbook and pull it out later. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I will not do that. In fact, you can wad it up and throw it away. Boy, you could see them pencils flying. I thought there was a pencil up here. I mean, boy, they sat down, and then he looked over, and she's writing down. And after about 8, 9, 10, maybe 12, pencil began to slow down. And then they'd look, and they'd think, and maybe write another one, and it got slower and slower. And I said, have y'all exhausted everything? I write it down. It don't matter. I'm not going to look at it. Nobody's going to count your spelling or anything. Just write it down. They might write one or other two things. I said, is that it? I said, okay. Flip your paper over. And they did. They flipped their paper over. I said, now write down every little thing that you like about that person. Don't leave nothing out. Everything that you can think of. Boy, I thought them pencils was in slow motion. But you know what? They didn't lay the pencils down. They kept writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. Then they went up to the page and they kept writing and writing and writing and writing. And even after I said, is that it? They said, no, wait a minute. And he wrote from. And I said, now you tell me that you want to dissolve this marriage for these few little things that are written on the front of the page, when you've written all of these wonderful things on the back of the page. I said, listen, your marriage is not in trouble. It's right where it needs to be. You got more good things than you realize. It's just that the bad things have been on your mind. Those are the things that's constantly confronting us. And Satan will do us the same way unless we wake up that inner self. Unless we realize all of our blessings. Amen. The clothes on your back. The food on your table. The cars in your carport. The house and the roof that's over you. All the wonderful things. And we hardly ever talk about them. We talk about the few things that we're upset with. It's time to wake up that inner self. It's time to wake up the glory and begin to praise and glorify the Lord for what He has abundantly given us, and you'll be blessed for it. Amen. And you'll be thankful for it too. There's a song that says, don't think about the bad things. Don't think about the times you were down and out. Think about how God has brought you out. Think about the good things that God has done in your life. Amen. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. You're precious. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday night. Just to share with you, this lady gave us a call this morning. She was down at the Flying J truck stop. She wanted to come to church. She's a truck driver. Amen. Praise God. Bless her heart. And she's Pentecostal. And she wanted to know if she could get to church. She said, church had actually started the Sunday school. She said, if I can get an Uber driver to bring me there, can somebody take me back? I said, yes, we certainly will. And it was a blessing. She came in. Her name was Sister Janine. We got to know her pretty well. She lives in Utica, New York. She was here to pick up a load in Villa Rica, taking it to Florida. She goes this way quite a bit. I said, anytime you have a layover, please come and with us. She said, I'm going to do that. And she said that there was actually two or three other Pentecostal women that drive over the road too, and they hook up sometime. And I said, bring them on. Bring them on. And then I said, you know what? Bring some of them unsaved truck drivers too. She said, because I couldn't even find a parking space here at the Pilot in Villa Rica. She had to go down to Flying J to get a parking space. And I said, my Lord, Just, and we pulled in all those trucks. I said, just think if we'd had all of them at church this morning. She said, believe it or not, there's more Christians out there driving on the road than people would think. I said, well, praise God. Do you know what? We might just have to go down to Flying J sometime and just have a church service. Amen. Glorify and praise the Lord. Come on, we get too comfortable inside these walls sometimes. Amen. The real work is outside the walls. Amen. I'm not going to preach again. Glory to God. I woke up this morning feeling fine. I still feel fine. But I know it's time. Amen. Somebody told me, said, when you hit oil, quit boring. Hopefully we've hit oil tonight. Amen. If our music would come. Praise God. I'm just going to
probably leave you with a little song. I don't even know if I remember it. This one's in E flat. Brother Billy's taking guitar lessons, and he said one of the first things they told him was eat dynamite. What? 80 eats dynamite. 88 dynamite. Goodbye, 80. And the first letter of all is those the notes of the that what he's learning or something. I don't know why they chose the word 80. It just has to have no idea. While on earth, I had my troubles. I had sorrow and despair. No, Satan tried to tell me that no one really cared. But deep within my heart I knew that I was not alone. Cause Jesus died upon the cross for my eternal home. You could only see me now. Oh, how happy you would be. I'm no longer old and gray. I'm young forever to stay. There's no sickness, there's no pain, no clouds, and there's no rain. How happy you would be if you could only see. Little while on earth, trouble, I've had sorrow and despair, and old Satan, he tried to tell me that no one really cared. Oh, but deep within my heart I knew that I was not alone, cause Jesus died upon the cross for my eternal home. If you could only see me now, oh, how happy you'd be. I'm no longer old and gray. I'm young forever to stay. There's no sickness, there's no pain, no clouds, and there's no rain. Oh, how happy you would be if you could only see.
Uncle Doc, one of these days.
One of these days. Praise, praise God.
Every head bowed, every eye closed.
If you have a prayer need tonight, please understand and know these altars are open and never, ever closed. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would awaken the glory that is within us. God, the inner man, the spirit that lives on forever and ever and ever. Father, we shouldn't judge that by the diversity and the situations and trials of everyday living. Help us, God, to shake that off. Help us to be mindful, God, of how you've blessed us, how you brought us up out of a horrible pit. Lord, and you set us on a solid rock, and you established our goings. God, that's what wakes up the inner self. The next time that we face problems and issues, help us to remember that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. And Father, we pray your blessing tonight. Asking you, Lord, to look over this congregation. If there's any needs, I pray, God, that you would bless them, touch them, and anoint them.
In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Is there one tonight? Please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll anoint you. Amen, as the Bible says.
Hallelujah, Father.